Ireland's Classic Hits Radio, it is something for the weekend. I have to tell you about something very important today because Allianz Insurance and Women's Aid have created a new national fundraiser. It's called hashtag Stand Strong, and the hashtag Stand Strong movement hopes to empower women to help end domestic abuse and support women and children, of course, across the country who avail of Women's Aid. So this coming Monday, the new bank holiday, you can join the hashtag Stand Strong movement by taking a photo in the Stand Strong warrior pose. And that is the very famous yoga pose, putting it on social media with that hashtag. And you can get more details on this on our website, classichits.ie. You can click on the ad there on the side for the Stand Strong movement. I do want to give you the phone number for Women's Aid, 1-800-341-900. On the line, we have got the businesswoman, Nora Casey. And the reason we're speaking to you, Nora, is you were subjected to domestic abuse yourself. And some people may listen to this and go, wow, did not know that. Some may be aware. And there are people who are listening now who will think, God, you always think of women who are victims as being quiet women who aren't able to stand up for themselves, who are reliant on men, and this is not Nora Casey. Tell us your story.
Yeah, what you said is absolutely right. I met Peter in my early 20s when I didn't really know what a relationship should look like, and I certainly didn't know what love is. So I misunderstood all of the putting me on a pedestal. You know, he was very wealthy and very powerful. And even before we got married, we went out for dinner one night, and I had lived in Diggs in Hamilton. You have to remember, I started life as a nurse, and I was in London transferring to journalism, and, you know, I'd moved from the Diggs to his place, and we were driving home, and I said something, I don't even know to this day what I said, but he slammed on the brakes and came out his side of the car. I still thought he was just letting me out or helping me out. He opened my door and pulled me out and slammed my head on the top of the car. And I was so stunned that he did this, and it was really sore. And he very casually opened the door of the house and, you know, went up to bed. And to my shame, I remember thinking over and over, what did I say to make him do that? Yeah. I must learn from that. I must, you know, not trigger that the next time. And then I was trying to think what make of wreckage is. I can tell you, cauliflower ear does look like that. And I had bruising on the side of my face. Now, if I had known then that when somebody slaps you once, they're never going to stop, I might have made a different decision. Unfortunately, I went on to marry him, and I was with him for 9 years. And, you know, I had very violent episodes of broken ribs. In fact, he broke a bone and some muscle in my face, and my side of my mouth always goes down when I smile. So even when I'm at my happiest, I am reminded of that terrible, awful, violent moment. And I also went through my life after that thinking I was such a weak, sat a doormat. I found myself sitting on panels with women who kept saying, if a man lifts his finger to me now, I'd be straight out the door. And
yeah.
I was sitting there in my dirty, guilty secret thinking, how will I ever admit to anyone that I actually stayed 9 years with that? What kind of a person am I that I could remain in a relationship? But you know what? I forgive myself through the lens of time, because I now think, I was so strong then. I didn't feel strong. I certainly wasn't confident. But, you know, for me to go through that all day, every day, his temper, the flare-ups, the violence, you know, the uncertainty, sleeping in your bed but not feeling safe, getting up every day and going to work because there's no way I could tell anyone in work what was going on with me. That required such strength. And I tried to leave him. I was working in South London and going to work in North London. It was a two-hour drive. I tell you, every Monday morning, I drove that route crying, telling myself over and over, why didn't I leave him that weekend? And every Friday, you know, trying to get myself, you know, that resolve to say it would happen this weekend. Mm-hmm. But every time I tried to do it, he would be violent. He threw my clothes out. He, you know, he threatened to take his own life. There's always these terrible flare-ups. So you need to be quite strong to go through those. But you know how I left him, which is why this campaign is so important. Nobody knew what was happening to me. I was quite far away from my family and friends. And my mother witnessed him slapping me. She came to London with my dad. And she had a long conversation with me. She's great. She's a mental health nurse and counsellor. And she said, you have to leave him. You know, I know. And your two brothers will spend life in prison for merging him if you don't. You have to leave him. And just by talking to her and her strength, it reminded me that I could do it. And this Friday morning, 5 days after she talked to me, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I packed a small bag. You have to remember, I owned nothing. I had all the debt, he had all the money. I didn't own anything. I didn't have anything other than the clothes I stood up in. I had no home to go to. So I made a speech in my head during all those, you know, car journeys. And I think the speeches in your head are often better than the speeches you make. And I woke him up at 5 o'clock to tell him I was leaving him, and he just laughed and rolled over. And I went straight into my speech, and all I could hear was him snoring gently behind me. And I remember walking down the stairs at a battered old red car, and I got into it, and I felt, when I drove away, I just felt I was just driving off a cliff. Mm-hmm. I've never felt anything like it. And when I think about that now, the courage that took, the strength. I had to go into work and tell nobody. I think my coat was on back to front.
Do you remember where you stayed that first night? Because I think that's almost what stops a lot of women from leaving, because they're like, well, where do I go? I've nowhere to go. I've no money.
I stayed in the Ibis in Heathrow that night because it was the cheapest place I could find. And even through the paper thin walls, I could hear families laughing and joking and going off on holidays, and my whole world had fallen apart. Yeah. I didn't know where to live. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. But what I did have inside me was that knowledge that nobody was ever going to do that to me again. I was going to have the resilience to stay away from him, and I was going to own myself financially and otherwise, because that ends up being such a huge issue for women who have to leave.
Yes.
And you know, I would never... Just think about it. I was a nurse to start with. Anyone who's a nurse doesn't set out to make millions. That changed my life, you know, dramatically. And it's a hard message to say at a terrible time. Sometimes other things that are good happen, because I met lovely Richard, the most amazing love of my life, and realised what love was. It
yeah.
wasn't life of toxicity that I had with Peter. I had my amazing son, Dara. I went on to own businesses. My God, just think of it. A girl from North Dublin who went to a Dutch school of being in Dragon's Den is almost unheard of. That courage is what carried me through all of that, you know?
And Nora, that is the one thing. A lot of women feel they can't leave because they've got nowhere to live, or they've no plan. And if they haven't told their friends or their family, the stigma that's attached to that. How do you say, can I come and stay in your house tonight? Why? Well, this has been going on for quite a while.
Yeah, and it's frightening. You know, I mean, the worst time for violence, and the worst time for women losing their lives, unfortunately, is when they decide to leave, because, you know, your abuser then knows that they're in the final stages of losing control over you. And it's really important that women find a safe space. I would just encourage anyone, if there's anyone, I'm telling my story, and believe you me, it's not easy to tell. You can tell that.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell it, but I tell it because I'm hoping. It's my little superpower. If I felt powerless back then, this is my superpower, to tell anyone listening, boy, girl, man, woman, if you're in a relationship like this, reach out and phone the woman's aid number. That's the most important thing that you can do. I meet people all the time who say, oh, I don't think that it's serious enough for me to call the number, or it's only coercive control. I've just described my physical scars from Peter, but believe you me, the psychological ones remain far longer. So coercive control is a terrible experience for anyone. So call the number if you need a safe place that can help you. You know, that's the most important message I can give. Just on the Stand Strong campaign, the reason I really love this narrative is, to your point in the introduction, that people do look at women who are in those kind of relationships, and they always focus on them. You know, they must be weak, if they say, you know, people ask me that all the time, that no strong woman would stay in a relationship like that. It's a very complex situation when you feel you're in love with somebody, and don't forget that you're being groomed all the time. So it's learned behaviour, constantly second guessing yourself.
Yeah, and to him probably doing nice things for you as well on occasion, bringing you on a holiday,
all
doing all those things.
And
you go, is he really that bad?
All the time, the roller coaster of the honeymoon period and then walking on eggshells, then violence. But I would just say that, you know, if you don't have a strong person like my mom to reach out and remind you that you're strong, then this campaign is about, I hope, everybody, men, women, children, anybody, getting out on Monday, strike that warrior pose. And believe you me, I do it really badly. And I put it up all kinds of different ways on Instagram, and everyone keeps reminding me that my leg is in the wrong place. I don't care what
that
your warrior
doesn't matter.
Pose looks
That's not
like.
The point. Yeah.
Just, you know, fill all of the social media feeds. Firstly, because it's a great message to people who are struggling in an abusive relationship that others are thinking of them. And secondly, the abusers are reminded every which way that it's unacceptable that men and women and families and hopefully yoga classes are getting together and they're showing the world that they stand with those women. And I think if you can donate, I would encourage you to do so. There's so much more that needs to be done in Women's Aid. It's a fantastic charity. I'll just give you one example. When I finished talking on the late late, lots of people came to me looking for advice. Now, believe you me, I'm not the best person to come for advice. It happened to me. Mm-hmm. But there are great experts in Women's Aid who know how to help you. But the Two Into You campaign I did help get up and running again. And it's really aimed at young people like me at the time in my early 20s, where you don't know what the hell a relationship is or what it should look like. It's a simple questionnaire. And at the end, it should let you know whether your relationship is healthy or if it's toxic. Mm-hmm. Last week, I went to buy a plant, and the man who was selling it to me grabbed my hand when he was giving me the change, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, you know, the Two Into You campaign saved our daughter. And said, no, she wouldn't listen to us, she wouldn't listen to her parents, wouldn't listen to her friends. We knew he was bad for her, that he was keeping her away from friends and family. He was increasingly controlling her, even what she wore and where she went. And somebody sent her the link to the Two Into You campaign, and she realised, you know, it was a big moment for her, mm-hmm. that she realised that her relationship was not healthy, and she got out of it. So I think sometimes if we can fundraise, not everyone can afford to give money, even amplifying the message on
Absolutely.
Social media is good.
Yeah,
you know?
You can do that for free. And you just mentioned there, Nora, about going on the late late. I know you almost cancelled going on telling your story, didn't you?
I did, loads of times, because like, it really traumatises me talking about it, and I try not to do it too often. This is a brilliant campaign, and I actually really love the narrative of being strong, but it takes it out of me when I talk about it.
Yeah. I can hear it in your voice, yeah it's bringing you right back there.
I'm trying to be strong, but I think, I cancelled multiple times. I cancelled the last week of the season, actually, because every week I'd say I'll do it, and then I'd say I won't do it. And it wasn't out of me not wanting to help people. It was more I was worried I couldn't get through it, you know?
I know. Well, look, you've done it, and it's great that you're spreading this message that, you know, when you get out of that marriage or that relationship, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and you found happiness with your second husband, who sadly passed away. And I was just shocked at the stats that 1 in 4 women in Ireland are subjected to domestic abuse. So please, anybody listening today, do get involved. Do that Stand Strong Warrior pose on social media this coming Monday, the new bank holiday, to spread awareness of this. Just before we wrap up, I want to give you the phone number for Women's Aid, 1-800-341-900. 1-800-341-900. And of course, the website, womensaid.ie. Nora Casey, thanks so much for telling your story.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nora. It is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.